following program is intended for mature audiences.
Get off the babysitter. Put on your pants. Come out with your hands up.
Truth, the half-truth, and nothing of the truth. Veritas News, now with Sal Mannella.
Good evening, this is Sal Mannella with the Veritas News. Researchers find that the hidden cause of California's smog problem is not primarily from cars' carbon emissions, but rather the overabundance of fertilizer in the state's Central Valley. A long-term study by environmental scientists in California's UC Davis campus has concluded that the extensive use of cow manure used in agriculture in the state's Central Valley is the major cause of air pollution in the state. Car manufacturers expressing glee in hearing the news hope that this study will, quote, end the state's stringent automobile emissions standards, which are the strictest anti-smog regulations in the world, end quote. A Trump EPA spokesman, Ben Fume, said the news will now put California in its place, stating, ironically, that, quote, California's crazy emissions standards are finally exhausted, end quote. Not surprisingly, the voters of California's Central Valley are represented by Republican congressman and not-so-stealthy Russian operative Devin Nunes. Democrats and progressives note that Nunes's dud anti-FBI memo of last week, which was supposed to have shown anti-Trump bias by the world's intelligence community, did not pass the so-called smell test. The left-wingers until today could not identify what the smell was that permeated the Nunes memo. But given researchers' proof that smog is caused by cow manure from Nunes's district, have now identified the smell as being that of fertilizer. Democrat congressman and colleague of Nunes, Adam Schiff, was overheard saying, quote, "It's no surprise that the Nunes memo failed the smell test, as we now know that his entire district, like himself, is full of shit," end quote. In yet another cover-up, video and photographic images of President derelict Donald Trump entering Air Force One on a windy day show absolutely no hair growth from the back of his head. Previously, hair transplant surgeons have come forward en masse to verify, based on prior similar video images, that Trump has had hair transplant surgery that allows so-called real strands of hair to grow. But the recent images in question show no hair growth at all from the rear of his head. The public clamors now and wants to know, if he did have hair transplant plugs surgically implanted, why did they miss the back of his head? Proponents of the removal of Trump from the world stage by any means expressed hope that, using Trump's own words that expressed his wish for someone to assassinate Hillary Clinton, quote, "maybe one of those Second Amendment people," end quote, won't miss the back of his head. This has been Sal Mannella with the Veritas News. Now here's Tom Savino with Savino Veritas.
Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California.
Thank you, Sal Mannella. So good to have you back, Sal Mannella, reporting on Trump and Devin Nunes and smog in California caused by bullshit. Well, we hope we're not going to have any bullshit here. This is Savino Veritas, where truth reigns. This is Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth, the fine wine of select gripes, the gripes of wrath. Here on Savino Veritas tonight, we have Randy Rainbow, Frankly Spinatra, Jimmy Kimmel, comedian Mark Normand, and comedian from Finland, Ismo, ISMO, very funny bit on ass, And finally, I comment on what seems to be a Doritos ad, but is actually an ad to save our rainforest in a bit called Chips on the World. Stay tuned. Enjoy. Last week, once again, Donald Trump lied in public to the gleeful ears of his stupid supporters in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's amazing the people that they have standing behind him. You know, it's this all orchestrated, all marketing, but it boggles my mind that the marketing, what I mean by the marketing is that the people, his people, Trump's people, they actually handpick the people that are behind him in these rallies that he has, these Hitlerian rallies. And the people that I'm making a collection of the photos of the people who stand behind him. And this is actually, I'm sorry to say, but it might bring back eugenics. As a thing in this world, if you take a look at the faces of these people behind him. But anyway, he would not be the president. He would not survive as long as he has already, even though it's only a year, but it seems like 100. He would not survive if it weren't for his supporters. And Randy Rainbow has a nice little tune to tell us just about his base.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
My fellow Americans.
Because you know he's all about his base, about his base. No feelings. He's all about his base and his own self-dealings. He's all about his base, appealing to only just his base. Yeah, it's pretty clear who this schmuck is talking to, and I can guarantee it's not to me or you. Whatever happens, he's got just one response. He says what they think to get what he wants. Why he's still talking uh-huh. about all the travel bans. Uh-huh. I know it's hard to fathom, but he's still got lots of fans. Hey. If you ain't never seen one, connect the dots, because they're mostly white supremacists and Russian Twitter bots. You know Obama, he told me he loved me no matter what. Abraham Lincoln, he taught me don't settle for what you got. Look behind you if you're sitting in the cheap seats. And JFK said, don't ask what your country can do for you. But Donald Trump says whatever the hell his base wants him to. Why? Because you know he's all about his base. And it's unproductive. He's all about his base. And it's real destructive. He's all about his base. And it's reductive. He's all about his base. About his base. He's bringing stupid back. He's an unmanageable maniac. He likes the dummies who don't give him flack.
'cause they're his base.
He'll believe whatever comes out of that shithole on his face.
Michelle Obama said when they go low, that's when we go high. But if I get any higher, I'm scared I might touch the sky. To take credit for fixing the stuff he broke.
We are making America great again.
You know that most of the country still thinks he's a great big joke.
Whoa. It's no joke that the women's unemployment rate is the lowest in 17 years. It is no joke.
Kellyanne, isn't it true that FBI Director Chris Wray threatened to resign because Jeff Sessions pressured him to fire Deputy Director Andrew McCabe?
I would have no direct knowledge of that.
And isn't it also true that Donald Trump paid an adult film star hundreds of thousands of dollars in hush money after having an extramarital affair with her in 2006?
No, I have no direct knowledge of what you're saying.
Okay, well then I guess there's just one more thing and then I'll let you go.
I know you're lying because your lips are moving, popping off in interviews. We know he's dumb and you ain't fooling anyone except maybe at Fox News, because his base, it seems to me, are easy to mislead and confuse. I know you lie, your lips are moving. Maybe you're a sorry excuse.
I hope that Democrats will stop playing games.
Your lips are moving, your lips are moving, your lips are moving, then you lie, lie, lie. Your lips are moving, your lips are moving, your lips are moving, then you lie, lie. Girl, look at me in my face. Tell me that he's not just about his base. Why are you still playing this game? Your time's up, like Stormy Daniels' 15 minutes of fame. You got a bill of love? What a bill of goods. There's no denying Access Hollywood. You heard it telling the truth? You should give it a whirl.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever, girl.
You just cater to your core because they're white, white, white. Guys, they're white guys. But be careful, because here comes the FBI.
Look.
I know you're lying, because your lips are moving.
Moving.
Popping off all over the place. You want a wall? Well, when they build it, maybe they can build it around your face. Because you're gross, and you're a douchebag. You could not be more out of place.
And guess what?
We know you lie, because your lips are moving.
Your lips are moving.
Baby, you're a friggin' disgrace.
Thank you. Enjoy your week.
Whatever, girl.
If and when she met him, disclosure's worth the sum. The non-disclosure's worth the sum. Can't go on. Late night shows to give the blues. Stormy Daniels paid to cover up all the scandals, compounding interest more and more, compounding interest more and more.
Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The gripes of wrath.
Here at Savino Veritas, we're always looking for the next big comedian, which reminds me that on March the 1st, Jeremy Long, comedian director, will be joining me here along with Zane Delgado, Hollywood correspondent, and we will be doing our fourth annual Oscar preview special. Please join us then. Jeremy, of course, is a comedian, and we're always appreciative of any new comedians. We have two here that were coming up, so enjoy the comedy now, the comedy stylings of Mark Norman, followed by a really unique guy who was heard on the Conan show from Finland, talking about two of my favorite subjects, the English language and ass.
I do like to drink. I've got a bit of a problem. I got really drunk last night, was incredibly hungover today, had another beer, hangover went away. Isn't that the amazing thing about booze? The thing that causes the problem is also the solution. Yeah. I wish other problems were like that. You know, like you have sex with a girl, she gets pregnant, have sex with her again, no more baby. Oh man, that would be amazing, you know? Then you're guaranteed to get laid at least twice. You know, you're talking like, whew, last night was incredible, we should do that again. Nah, I think I'm gonna go home. Hey, I'm just being responsible. I go to a lot of bars. My friend actually works at a gay bar, so I'll go there from time to time, get a free drink, maybe a compliment. And my guy friends are blown away by this. They're like, dude, you go to gay bars? That is weird. If some gay guy ever hit on me, I don't know what I would do. How about you just not have sex with them? Seems pretty easy. Sometimes I wish I was gay. Seems pretty good, you know? Easy to hook up, couple mimosas, fix up a neighborhood. It's fantastic, you know? But, you know, do like the ladies, big fan of the gals, which is weird, because when I was a kid, I hated girls. When I was like 6 years old, I thought girls were gross, thought they were dumb. And you know, you're allowed to hate girls as a kid, but that's really the only group a kid's allowed to hate. Because if I was a six-year-old that hated Puerto Ricans, that would be weird. You know, if I was like, hey, Mom, I hate Puerto Ricans, she would never say, oh, you'll like them one day. Hey, all right. All right, hey, any Puerto Ricans here? All right, too many. Just kidding, just kidding. Love Puerto Ricans. Good people, good people. Very passionate people. A lot of knives, but passionate, very passionate. Hey, I'm just telling jokes. I'm a comedian. Look, look, I live in New York City, all right? If I was racist, I would be exhausted. Let's all take it easy, huh? But you guys are a great crowd. Some people get so offended by these jokes. The gay joke, the Puerto Rican joke. I got yelled at by a guy recently on the show. This guy comes up and he goes, "Hey, buddy, I'm gay and Puerto Rican, all right? I don't appreciate those jokes. You know how hard my life is?" I was like, "Whoa, take it easy. How hard your life is. Dude, you have the most parades." Yeah, I don't know. Race is always such a touchy issue. We're all so uncomfortable with our race these days, you know? Especially white people. We're all scared of looking racist. That's a big fear we have. Like, I was talking to one guy at my last day job, and I was like, "Hey, man, what's the name of that new guy on the fifth floor, the really tall black guy?" And this guy goes, "Whoa." "I don't see color." I was like, "Really? Did you really just say that? Did that really just come out of your face?" You know? So I looked this guy right in the eye, and I was like, "Hey, man, it's cool. I'm black." And he was like, "No, you're not." And I'm like, "Aha." Yeah, you may not be racist, but you are a liar. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. I was the victim of racism recently. I should tell you, I love Jewish women. That's my number one. Love the Jewish... Any Jewish gals here? All right, hey, shalom. Love Jewish women. I was actually lucky enough to date a Jewish girl for a while. We talked about getting married, and her dad made us break up because I'm not Jewish. And I was like, "Come on, really? Seriously? Like, I live in New York, I have curly hair, I'm circumcised, I'm a comedian, I'm like, right there." But still, he was like, "No, my daughter will only marry a Jew. I want my people to live on, I want my culture to live on. Jews are all about living on." That's when I thought, man, Jews must be really jealous of gay people. Because gay people can't even reproduce, yet they keep popping up. That's amazing. That's incredible. No other group can do that. It's like a superpower, you know? You know, like, Jews are sitting around like, "You gotta marry a Jew, you gotta marry a Jew," and gays are like, "We'll be fine." Thanks a lot. I'm Mark Norman.
My next guest is the first comedian from Finland to perform on American television. This is a first. He can be seen live at the Hollywood Laugh Factory this weekend and at the Improv in Bragg, California on February 13th, making his late night stand-up debut with us this evening. Please welcome the very funny Ismo.
Hello, good evening. I am Ismo, and yes, I am from Finland.
Yay!
I moved to America about a year ago, and it's been great. But I have to say that it took a long time to learn the things, like the small, subtle things. Like, it took me a year to figure out that the correct answer to what's up is what's up. It took a long time, but now I know. If somebody says, "What's up?" I just say, "What's up?" it feels wrong. Like, I feel I'm not answering a question. But they are happy. So I just keep doing it. And it took me even longer than that to finally learn that "Can I help you?" actually means "Go away." I'm always learning, but I think the language still has been the most difficult part, because I studied English for years and I thought I know English, But then I moved to America. Turns out, no. Like, I didn't really know it. Like, all the things. Like, I think the hardest word to truly master has been the word ass. Ass. I thought it's really easy. It means a butt. But no. Like, yes, yeah, sometimes it can mean a butt, but that's just the tip of the assberg. Like, there are so many meanings to the word ass. I think it's the most complicated word in English. I've been trying to write a whole dictionary about just ass. There's so many. Like, for example, lazy ass. That means lazy. Like my lazy ass husband, it's the same sentence without the ass. The ass is just optional there. It's and long ass means long. Like a long ass flight, it's a long flight. But if you want to make it longer, you can add ass. And my definite favorite one, a grown ass man. It turns out it means a grown man. The entire man has grown. Not only his ass. So I learned that you can just add ass to anything, and then it sounds a little bit cooler. Like anything. I just bought this blue ass shirt. Oh, thank you. That was some good ass meatballs. Anything, but you have to be careful, because sometimes if you add ass to something, it can actually reverse the meaning of the original word. Like, for example, bad ass. That's good. Like, bad is bad, but bad ass, it's good. But not always. Like, dumb ass is still dumb. So how can you know? You have to know specifically which ones are flipped. And then there's the concept of your ass. And your ass, that means like yourself. Like move your ass. That's like move everything. Like move your ass and the rest of your body. And like everything. If you have a car, that's included in the ass. All of them, same direction, just move. So your ass means yourself plus all you have. But my ass, that means like no. Like, if I say that, wow, this car is really fast, and you say, oh, fast, my ass. So it means like, no, it's not fast. And to make it even more complicated, ass can be divided. Like, because if you are an ass, that means that you're being stupid. But if you're half ass, it means that you are not concentrating properly. And if you go even smaller, if you are a piece of ass, then you are beautiful. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
That was great.
Thank you so much.
Fantastic. That was fantastic! Israel, ladies and gentlemen! Oh, now we get some Korskinkova. Oh, yeah. Korskinkova.
Vino Veritas. Last week we satirized Jimmy Kimmel, who unfortunately made the not very wise choice of having Stormy Daniels on his show. Not very wise, because she is under a gag order, if you'll excuse the expression. And was not able to say much of anything about the sexual affair that she had with President Trump just days after Melania gave birth to his son. This is for sure. This is certain. She may not be able to speak about it, but we know for sure that Trump paid her $130,000. And even with the amount of money that he supposedly has, one does not pay someone hundreds of thousands of dollars, $130,000 in this case, to hush up. One does not do that, no matter how much money you have.
My feelings exactly.
And I certainly think it was not wise. We made a lot of fun of it last week, and I hope you enjoyed hearing it. But I may make the mistake this week of playing a Doritos commercial, what seems to be a Doritos commercial, a television commercial, and there's no dialogue in it whatsoever.
Brilliant!
And yet, I persist in maybe making the same mistake that Jimmy Kimmel did. However, I'm going to play it and then play it again with my commentary. So here's the Doritos ad played without my commentary. Then I'll play it again with my commentary. Here it is. First off, never trust a corporation whose ad on television or radio features ukuleles or a man whistling. This ad, this Doritos ad, this ad that's supposed to be a Doritos ad, has both. Normally, I say never trust them. In this case, it turns out you do trust them because they're making fun of Doritos, actually. The camera opens on acceptably attractive single white man and woman, both in their early 30s. Party balloons adorn the wall of this festive living room. You can hear partygoers having fun. Partiers drink from fire engine red plastic cups. Our subjects, single man and woman, each sit at the ends of the two segments of a sectional sofa. They are separated by an off-white occasional table, whose job it is in this particular occasion functions not only as the foundation upon which the party's host has placed a bowl of Doritos for guests, but in this ad also serves as the bridge between a single man and single woman. Graphically, these two people are opposite in nature. One, of course, is male, the other female. But each are further identified as opposites, as the man wears a blue button-down collared shirt and the woman an orange collarless sleeveless dress. On the opening shot, our single woman is engaged in a cheerful conversation. She's smiling with another young lady. Our woman sits facing us, but her head is in profile facing to her right. Our man sits also with his body toward us, but his head is in profile facing to his left. He too is engaged in cheerful conversation. He's smiling with another young lady. The glass bowl is almost empty, just as one orange substance rests at the bottom of the glass bowl. But our single man and single woman have been steadily reaching in and grabbing something from from the glass bowl for a while, since now, on this opening shot, each without looking at all, successfully reach into the bottom of the glass bowl and extract what we know to be the last piece of something orange. Simultaneously, our single woman's left hand and our single man's right hand land ever so gently, almost caressingly, upon the orange substance at the bottom of the glass bowl. In doing so, the woman and the man touch each other for the first time, aware of each other's touch, which seems to be electric in this case. They swiftly turn to face each other and become aware of each other for the first time. Camera now focuses up close on the two hands hovered over the glass bowl. Our camera angle now is from above the bowl. We see that the orange substance is the last Doritos chip that the woman and the man together lifted from the bottom of the bowl to where we see it now. The chip, like all Doritos, is an isosceles triangle. The short length of the triangle faces up in this shot, while the peak of the triangle, formed by the joining of the two equal lengths of chip, point downward here. This view creates a sort of a V for victory or vagina or both. We don't know yet. In this close shot, the woman's left hand, using thumb and index finger to secure the chip, hold half of the chip. Our man's right hand, in equal positioning, holds the other half of the chip. Then, each pulling at the last Dorito, we see and hear that last chip break in half. This break and sound of the break has the effect of breaking a glass at a Jewish wedding. That is to say, while we see the breaking of the chip in two, and also hear the breaking of the chip in two, this event is in no way a split, it's a union. Cut to our man's face, who is at first shocked, then very pleasantly surprised to see who has the other half, our woman. Cut to our woman in close, who is intrigued to see who it is who has the other half of this chip. Cut to a medium angle to see and hear both the man and woman take the first crunchy bite out of each of their halves of this Dorito. We cut to a close shot of our woman who now seductively eyes her male counterpart. We cut to a close-up of our man who reciprocates in kind. Then we cut to, a beat later in medium shot, our two subjects chewing the chip while each intently looking at each other. Cut to our woman's point of view. It's a later time in their lives. Our man hands our woman a bouquet of Doritos as she opens what ostensibly is her front door. We see that she is very pleased to receive this and to see our man. Very pleased. The scene cuts to a darkened movie theater where once again the hands of our two Dorito lovers are featured. They reach into a waxed paper popcorn container that is heaped full over the brim with not popcorn, but you guessed it, Doritos. Still later in their lives, we assume that our woman and man are in a serious relationship as together they push a supermarket shopping cart, filling it entirely with Doritos. Cut to one of their bedrooms. Our woman sits up in bed as our man leaps over the woman to occupy the other side of the bed. We see her laughing as our man, dressed in white t-shirt and Dorito-colored briefs, lands hard on the bed and rolls over. Cut to breakfast in this bed. We see a bed tray table with a cereal bowl filled with Doritos, a, quote, flower, quote, whose two petals are Doritos, a small red pitcher of milk, and a glass of orange juice.
In case we didn't get what's going on here, we see our man pour the milk onto the Doritos in the cereal bowl. He then feeds to our woman a tablespoon filled with milky Doritos as they both sit up joyfully in bed. Cut to the trimming of the Christmas tree. Our woman runs joyfully to our man who is engaged in trimming the tree. She carries arms full of Doritos designed to look like Christmas gifts as the man tops the tree with a five-pointed star made of Doritos. Both are ever so happy, smiling. We cut to our romantic couple in a tub. Our man sits up in the tub so that our woman can lie with her back against his chest as he lovingly enfolds her. The tub is adorned romantically with lit candles. Our woman feeds her man a Doritos chip. We cut to a higher angle to see our naked couple, not submerged in water, but rather in Doritos. The one chip fed to our man by our woman, we see now, is eaten face to face with one side of the chip in our man's mouth and the other in our woman's mouth. Cut to a montage of touristy photos of our couple featuring Doritos in each shot of this montage of still photos from Paris's Eiffel Tower, Egypt's pyramids, then to gondolas on the waters of Italy's Venice. Cut to a car on a Ferris wheel. We see our couple facing us as the Ferris wheel car goes up while the camera stays on them. Our woman reaches into a bag of Doritos as our man looks away from her nonchalantly. We cut to a close-up. Our woman opens her mouth in awe as her hand extracts from the Doritos bag a little red engagement ring-type jewelry box. We cut to a close-up. Our man inserting the engagement ring onto our woman's left ring finger. Of course, the jewel of the ring is a small wedge of a Doritos chip. Cut to our woman donning her head with a Doritos tiara. Cut to our man arranging a handkerchief. What seems to be a handkerchief is made of Doritos in his tuxedo jacket pocket. Cut to our married gleeful couple. Our woman with the Doritos tiara. Our man with the Doritos handkerchief, enthusiastically running out of the church, which ostensibly just served as the location of their ceremony. We hear a small but happy cheering crowd, and we see Doritos, not rice, being thrown at our happy couple. Cut to the rear of an orange car with a license plate that reads Doritos, tied to the back of the vehicle and being dragged on the road as the car drives away, are not cans, but bags of Doritos. Cut to a husband and wife, she in her tiara, he with his Doritos handkerchief, smiling in the back seat of this weird wedding limousine, this orange car. As if there can't be enough surprise and joy for this couple, we see the husband hand his wife two tickets. We move in close to see that each ticket says, quote, Doritos Adventure. Visit where it all begins, end quote. We cut to an airliner in midair, ostensibly having just taken off, as the angle of the plane indicates it's still on its way to cruising altitude. Sometime later, an SUV on a dirt road passes a wooden sign that reads, Doritos Forest. Cut to our ecstatic couple, bursting with joy, bursting through dense palm fronds, fern branches. They spread apart, the greenery obstructing their view. We see each wear a white t-shirt. Each t-shirt features one half of what's supposed to symbolize half of a broken heart couple's pendant. Those pendants representing the idea, you complete me. Our woman's tea reads graphically, I Doritos chip this guy, symbolizing, I love this guy. His reads, I Doritos chip this girl. Cut to the image of complete devastation. We see barren earth with the remnants of what was once a healthy forest. We see smoldering smoke from piles of what was once healthy greenery. We hear chainsaws prominently. Cut to our once happy couple reacting to this devastation. We see each of them turn, grimacing and facing each other. A beat later, we see each look down in disgust at each other's Doritos on each other's t-shirts. Cut to a black screen. Then the words, Doritos may contain traces of rainforest. As these words appear, we continue to hear the chainsaws. Cut to our now woke couple, disgusted with what ostensibly they are responsible for, the death of a rainforest. Still continuing to hear the chainsaws, words appear over the couple. Doritos parent company PepsiCo buys 427,500 tons of palm oil every year. Cut to, continuing to hear chainsaws, we see the couple separate from each other and head in opposite directions. We see now over a black screen the words, palm oil production destroys rainforests and threatens species to the point of extinction. And more words, tell Doritos and PepsiCo to adopt a responsible palm oil policy and save our rainforests. And finally, the words of the sponsor, someofus.org/Doritos. Sponsored by Some of Us.
Humorist, writer, raconteur, mystic, and parallel parking expert, Thomas Savino.
You hear about Trump? It's a funny thing. When we were kids, we were all afraid of the dark. And we grew up, and we weren't afraid anymore, but it's funny how a big lie can make us all kids again.
Be careful, son. I can sue you.
President, by the way, reached a major milestone yesterday, and I don't feel like this has gotten enough attention. According to the Washington Post, which has been keeping track, I guess, yesterday, Trump told his 2,000th lie since taking office. So happy lie 2K, everybody. 2,000 lies in 11 months. He's averaging 5.6 false claims a day, which is impressive considering the fact he's only working about 2.6 hours a day. He really plugs it in. And all the while that he's lying, he is continually imploring us to just believe him.
We are just getting started. Believe me.
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 You think Abe Lincoln ever said believe me? Believe me, he did not. The volume of fiction that comes out of his orange mouth is really, it's staggering. It's so brazen, I almost can't help but admire it. I watch it and I just go, what? 2,000 lies is an unprecedented achievement. So tonight, we're going to look back at his many prevarications with a new mini documentary that shows us how we got to this remarkable moment in misrepresentation.
I would say, without a doubt, it was the greatest achievement in the history of lying.
To be honest, I inherited a mess. It's a mess.
He is, quite simply, the Babe Ruth of
Obamacare covers very few people.
Donald Trump makes Tricky Dick look like Honest Abe.
I never met Putin. I don't know who Putin is. He said one nice thing about me. He said I'm a genius.
He is the greatest liar of all time.
C-SPAN presents Pants of Fire, The Road to 2,000 Lies.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
January 20th, 2017, Donald Trump puts his hand on the Bible and begins a historic journey to 2,000 lies.
God looked down and he said, we're not going to let it rain on your speech.
And Trump comes roaring out of the gate. He lies about the rain, the crowds, his Time magazine covers, his victory margin.
I guess it was the biggest Electoral College win since Ronald Reagan.
And this is week one. I said he cannot sustain this pace.
But Trump was just getting started. By March, he had amassed four times as many lies as any president had in two terms.
You look at what's happening last night in Sweden. Sweden!
Sweden. That was a classic. Only Trump could have lied that lie.
You know, the Cuban Americans, I got 84% of that vote.
So many great lies. I mean, Obama's wiretap.
You saw what happened with surveillance.
But you stand by that claim about him?
I don't stand by anything. I just, you can take it the way you want.
He even lied about lying.
I think one of the greatest of all terms I've come up with is fake. I guess other people have used it perhaps over the years, but I've never noticed it.
And then there was Twitter. Game changer.
Twitter proved to be a critical platform as Trump continued past 750 lies, finally hitting 1,000 lies in August of his first year.
We've signed more bills, and I'm talking about through the legislature, than any president ever. For a while, Harry Truman had us.
His PolitiFact numbers were off the charts. This was unheard of.
At that point, I think he knew it was in the bag, but he didn't let up. If anything, he doubled down.
He said he interviewed me for 3 hours in the White House. It didn't exist, okay? It's in his imagination.
After a long, arduous road, Trump achieved the impossible, his 2,000th lie in office.
We can build the wall in 1 year.
Yes, sir.
And we can build it for much less money than what they're talking about.
Can you compare it to Michael Phelps in 08, Roger Bannister running the 4-minute mile, a young Tiger Woods? It's unfathomable.
He's got 3 more years, or maybe even 7, or maybe 6 months. Who the hell knows?
President Trump's miraculous milestone in mendacity seems destined to stand the test of time.
Bing, 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 bing.
But even if it should fall to some future president, his place in the fake history books is forever secure, thanks to his total lack of shame, unlimited capacity for and his pants of fire.
The American dream is dead.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, on behalf of a grateful nation.
Other things to do.
You must come here now.
Promise, I promise. You'll never see that. You'll never see that.
I'm not doing anything with you.
I didn't like it.
Please, I swear I won't. Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time.
I don't care.
Please sit there.
Well, I'm probably not.
Go to the bathroom.
In the way I've done it, I don't think I would have been successful. Actually, if I were soft.
Go to the bathroom. Come here. Listen to me.
Generally speaking, I like to stay away from that.
I'm not going to do anything. You'll never see me again after this. Okay? That's it. If you embarrass me in this hotel.
I could have done certain things differently.
I mean, don't have a fight with me.
Oftentimes I lose.
Please, I'm not going to do anything. I swear my children. Please come in. On everything.
Well, we could actually get it up.
Please come in now. And 1 minute. And if you want to leave when the guy comes.
I want something that works.
Please, I'm sorry. Just come on. I'm used to that.
It was not a pleasant experience.
We'll do it again. Come on. Sit here. Sit here for a minute, please.
I mean, we just do nothing to protect ourselves.
If you do this now, you will embarrass me. But no. You will call me again. Okay? Sorry. I promise you I won't do anything.
I have other things to do.
I will never do another thing to you. 5 minutes. Don't ruin your friendship with me.
I don't care.
Please, you're making a big scene.
It was fists. It was tough. I will say this. If I don't go all the way, I will consider it to be a total and complete waste of time, energy, and money.
Fire and Fury spoken word auditions, take one.
Trump won't read anything. He gets up halfway through meetings with world leaders because he is bored.
Cut!
Sorry, John. Yeah. It's wonderful. It just feels a bit too smooth. I don't think it's going to work.
No.
Next!
Okay. His comb over, semicolon, the color was a product called Just for Men. The longer it was left on, the darker it got. Impatience resulted in Trump's orange blonde hair color.
Cut.
Trump did not enjoy his own inauguration. He started to get angry and hurt that stars were determined to embarrass him. I definitely wasn't there.
Cut. Spoken word, Cardi B.
If Trump was not having his 6:30 dinner with Steve Bannon, then more to his liking, he was in bed by that time with a cheeseburger. Why am I even reading this shit? I can't believe this. I can't believe that he really, this how he lives his life.
He reprimanded the housekeeping staff for picking up his shirt from the floor. If my shirt is on the floor, it's because I want it on the floor. Another one. It's Rita Best. It's DJ Khaled. Matter of fact, this is the best spoken word album in the game. I'm finally gonna win my Grammy.
So this isn't gonna work. Next.
It's not gonna work. Everything I do works.
Stand by. Take one.
He had a longtime fear of being poisoned. One reason why he liked to eat at McDonald's. Nobody knew he was coming, and the food was safely pre-made.
That's it. We've got it. That's the one.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
The Grammy's in the bag?
In the bag.
Your host Tom Savino of Savino Veritas saying thank you for listening, and listen every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on SRN1 at 148.ca/1. Please listen to us on March the 1st with Jeremy Long, director comedian, and Zane Delgado, Hollywood correspondent, talking about the Oscars. And all of our shows, including the Oscar special, can be heard 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, juicedtalk.com. That's J-U-I-C-E-D talk.com. Remember, I may be joking, but I'm never kidding. Peace.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.
It's the Fabulous D Show.
All tied up, ready. No.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards.
JuicedTalk.com.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth. This is Artist D.
And Anne Marie from Up All Night on For Culture Radio.
Have you got any wine, Anne Marie?
I'm completely intoxicated.
We love to wine. We drink wine. We listen to Savino Veritas every week at JuiceTalk.com. Don't we love Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?